Hello, St. Stephens, and welcome to the season of Advent. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today, at the beginning of Advent, we begin a candle lighting liturgy. So I will start by lighting the first candle, the candle of hope. And you will see that we don't light the Christ candle again until Christmas Eve. Let's say together the liturgy over the candle lighting. We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of God's kingdom. The nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Please join me in today's call to worship. Your promise dawns upon us, living God. We wait expectantly. Your hope arises among us, living God. We wait confidently. Your cherished one appears for us, living God. We wait in joy. And let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we await your coming. We wait filled with hope, knowing your light will shine in the darkness. We wait anticipating your peace, believing that one day it will fill our world. We wait embracing your love. May we reach out to share it with our neighbors. We wait with joy bubbling in us in expectation of your birth. Lord, we wait. Come soon and fill us with your life. Amen. Please say the prayer of confession with me. Merciful God, always with us, always coming, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We have ignored the promise of your kingdom. We get distracted by all the busyness of this season. Forgive us, God. Grant us the simple wonder of the shepherds, the intelligent courage of the Magi, and the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of a child born for us. Now, in the quiet of our hearts, we ask you to make us ready for his coming. In his name we pray. Amen.
Friends, in these words from the prophet Jeremiah, we hear that God showed him Christ's coming and all that his coming would mean for us. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. People of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose coming we announce in this season, is our righteousness. In Christ, we have been made right with God. That is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Here is the message which God gave to Isaiah, son of Amos, about Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be the highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it, and their people will say, "Let us go up the hill of the Lord, to the temple of Israel's God. He will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen, for the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion, he speaks to his people. He will settle disputes among great nations. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Now, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light which the Lord gives us." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before we dig into this passage from Isaiah, I'd like to take just a moment or two to talk a little bit about this new season of the church year that we start today. Advent is how we begin each year. And as with all the seasons of the church year, living through this season of 4 weeks with some awareness and some intentionality can actually be a meaningful and fruitful experience. So today I want to invite each of you to consider paying a little closer attention to the particularities of Advent this year and open yourself maybe a little more to what these weeks can hold for us. Advent is a season in which our readings, our liturgies, our prayers, and our songs are all designed to cultivate a special awareness of God's actions, not just in the present, but also in the past and in the future. Advent can be a little like going up in an airplane, in much the same way as flying gives you a different perspective on the world. Advent can lift us above our day-to-day lives in the present so that we can see them within a much bigger frame, a frame that also lets us see the past and the future. In Advent, we get this chance to shift our perspective to the big overarching story of God that spans from the beginning of all things all the way to the day when all things will reach God's consummate goal for life. These prophetic readings that we come to during these 4 weeks help us to get that perspective. They remind us that we are part of a much bigger story, and that it's a story is very much going somewhere, and somewhere wonderful. Because of that future focus, Advent is also a season when we find ourselves anticipating where God is taking us, while at the same time realizing quite well that we're just not there yet. We are still waiting for God's promises to come to fruition. So this sense of anticipation and a sense of waiting, these are very much the postures that we hold during Advent. I want to encourage you to lean into both of those things, anticipation and waiting, during these 4 weeks. Recognize them. Notice what stirs them in you. And maybe talk with God about that. If you do, I think you might discover that there can be a richness to this season that may surprise you and actually prepares us well for the wondrous birth that comes at the end. Advent is also, as many of you well know, a season in which we, week by week, highlight one of four themes: hope, peace, joy, and love. As we heard in our candle lighting liturgy at the beginning of the service and saw in that lovely opening video, this first Sunday of Advent, our theme is hope. And so we have before us today this beautiful prophecy from Isaiah. It is a powerful word of hope that gives us a vision for where life in this world is headed and promises that the day will come when the life that is described there, the life that God showed Isaiah in that vision, will become a reality for all of us. This prophecy is all about redemption. It describes a time when people of all sorts, the Jewish people and Gentiles from all nations, will come to the mountain of the Lord, where they will experience both God's presence and, interestingly, God's teaching. God will be with us, and God will show us how we can walk in God's paths, which is another way of saying that we will learn to live the way we were made to. By God's design and plan, as people come to Him, we discover how we were created to live. That's the way it is for us now who are trying to follow Jesus. And as God shows Isaiah, it will also be how it will be for people of all nations when God's redemptive work is complete and that vision is finally realized. God showed Isaiah that when this happens, peace is going to come to the world. And it will be a peace that will be universal. It won't just come to one people or place or another. It will be for all the nations of the earth. Weapons of war will be completely unnecessary. Swords and spears used for killing will be melted down and reformed into tools that can be used for growing food. Doesn't that feel like a turning things the right way up vision? One of my readings said, instruments for taking life will be converted into implements for sustaining life. What a promise that is for us. What a promise as we read daily headlines describing the horrors of the war happening right now in Ukraine. What a promise for the people there who are suffering. And for all of the people suffering under lesser publicized conflicts in other parts of the world. An end to war. An end that is so final and complete that no one will need to keep weapons just in case anymore. That's an incredible promise for our world today. And that prophecy is a promise that would have actually been as welcomed by the people of Isaiah's time as it is by us right now. They, at their time, were facing the threat of the Assyrian Empire. And not very long after would come the Babylonians, and as we know, the Romans, and so on and so on. The history of this world is littered with times when people and nations are pitted against each other, as empires and rulers try to expand their power bases. So the promise in this prophecy of a time when the whole world will finally know peace, it's given hope to generation after generation throughout history. And it will continue to do that until the day that that peace finally comes. Now, while the promise of peace is very, very good, we all really are keenly aware that we still live in a very different reality. Every time we read another headline about a new missile being launched or another building being destroyed or people being maimed or killed, we feel inside us this strange tension of having that incredible promise of peace before us, but also knowing that we are just not there yet. We call that tension the tension of the now and the not yet. We know that kingdom life, the life with God we were made for, began to come when Jesus came and lived among us. We also know that we are still a long way from that being the pervasive reality everywhere. So we get little glimpses of kingdom of God life now, but they're just glimpses. We don't get to live in it fully yet. The kingdom life with God is both now and not yet. And recognizing that tension that is created by that is very much a part of the Advent journey. We are people who are walking with God now, but we're also people who are waiting with heightened anticipation for the day when we can really be with God fully. Even more, we are waiting for the day when everyone will have a chance to do that. So in the midst of all of life's messiness, we're holding firmly to these promises God has made to us. Our great hope is that one day he will fulfill them. And that hope is actually what sustains us through all the not yetness of life. Now, some people think that our hope is just pie in the sky. But it's not. Remember, I said that in Advent, we get that higher perspective of remembering that God has actually been acting since the beginning of time and will continue to act for us until we reach the goal that he has in mind. This part of Isaiah's prophecy gives us a vision for what God will do in the future. But our hope for that day is actually built on the solidity of remembering what God has already done. We remember all the ways that God has moved in the past, all the ways that he has shown us that he is for us. Most importantly, we remember the significance of the event this Advent journey leads us to, Christ's birth. God becoming incarnate, embodied here on earth in human form. It's an amazing thought still. When Jesus was born, God actually fulfilled a promise he had repeated many times. And knowing that he has already kept that promise, that's what gives us the faith that we need to trust that he will keep all of his promises to us. Friends, these prophets that we turn to in Advent remind us that our hope has always been in God and no one else. As the writer of Psalm 146 wisely reminds us, "Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God." Our hope is secure when it is placed in God, God who came to us in Christ, God who has come to be with us and within us in the Holy Spirit, and God who has promised us that Christ will come again to bring all his promises fully into being. Amen.
Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ the air. everlasting light, the Son of righteousness arise and triumph o'er these shades of night. Come thou long awaited one, in the fullness of your love, and loose this heart bound up by shame, and I will never be the same. So here I'm waiting above you, all my soul's longing through and through, and day spring from on high be near, and day star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, until your love in me is born. And joyless is the evening sun, until Emmanuel has come. So here I wait in hope of you, all my soul's longing through and through, and day spring from on high beneath, and day star in my heart appear. So here I spring from on high be near, and day star in my heart appear.
Let us pray. Loving God, our God who embodies love in its deeply enriching capacity, we offer you adoration for your absolute goodness, which feels absolutely trustworthy completely. And so we ask that you open our hearts to recognize this need in us, to also spend time alone with you in prayer, meditation, walks shared with you. There are times when we absolutely need to nourish ourselves with your love. We pray this day for our neighbors on the street where we live, that those who live alone are given the love they need to move forward with peace and purpose, that they come to know that they are your beloved children. We pray that the couples on our street move forward with new vision and hope for the future in these very challenging, fast-moving times. We pray that all refugees in the world be given new hope, genuine purpose, that their lives may be given the opportunity of security and stability. Help all of us here to recognize ways to assist these folks to make new lives here in our country. We pray that those who are overwhelmed with desperation because of mental health issues and addiction issues, that they are given what they need in the form of physical and mental health assistance, and open their hearts to receive your love in the form of steadfast comfort and peace. We pray also for our civic leaders who have recently won elections, that they be given the energy and the vision they need
to open new avenues of assistance for our town and regional district. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
St. Stephen's, we want to thank you again for all of the ways that you have given this week. And I want to say a special thank you to some of our regular online participants who are giving faithfully to the work of the church. Thank you. Your contributions mean so much and make lots of services like this online ministry possible here. So please know you are doing kingdom work in your giving, and thank you for that. Let's pray together now to dedicate these gifts to God's mission. Lord Jesus, we are committed to your kingdom established on the cornerstone of love, and where righteousness and justice will prevail. Use these, our gifts, we pray, for the work of that kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Friends, return now to our world with its pain and wonder, remembering the words of the prophets and the longing of all who yearn for a sign of hope. And may the blessing of God, who is ever faithful, the blessing of Christ, who still comes to us, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, who moves within us and throughout our world, rest upon you and abide with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
The birth of a child should always be the cause of great rejoicing. But how much more so when the child is none other than God himself, come to save his people from their sins. So come and join the dance.
Oh, come and join the dance that all began so long ago,
when Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
Through all the years of darkness till the dance goes on and on.
Oh, take my hand and come and join the song.
Rejoice, 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 lift your voice and sing, and open up your heart to welcome him.
Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice,
and welcome now your King,
for Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
Come shed your heavy load and dance your worries all away,
for Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
He came to break the power of sin and turn your night to day.
Oh, take my hand and come and join the song.
Rejoice, 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 or lift your voice and sing, and open up your heart to welcome him.
Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice,
and welcome now your King, for Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
Sing and joy be all around,
for Christ the Lord was born in Bethlehem.
And if you seek with all your heart, he surely can be found.
Oh, take my hand and come and join the song.
Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice,
for lift your voice and sing, and open up your heart to welcome him.
Rejoice, rejoice,
rejoice,
and welcome now your King.